Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. Today we begin with the Sacrament of the Altar. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to the sixth chief part of the Catechism, the Sacrament of the Altar, or the Lord's Supper. And here, everything that we have already taught and learned from the Word of God, the law, the gospel, our prayers to him, the justification, the declaring us righteous that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, everything that baptism has brought us into, that we daily are living in repentance and faith, and then working and beginning holiness in this world, all of it comes to a head in the Lord's Supper. Really, it does. And really, we have to go to the Lord's own words, as we've heard from Matthew, which are also recorded in Mark and Luke, and by St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, which we will hear tomorrow, to learn what this is. Many wonder how it is that the church can celebrate this sacrament, this Lord's Supper, and believe everything that our church teaches about it. The answer is quite simple. We go to the words of Jesus Christ. First of all, we learn something from each of the names that we use for this gift of God. We call it the Lord's Supper, as St. Paul says as well, and that is because this supper is instituted by Christ himself. At the Last Supper, as we heard in today's gospel, Jesus did something unique, did something new. He gave this supper to his disciples, not to fill bellies, but to deliver his gifts to us. It is the Lord's Supper. That means that if we wish to know how to do it rightly, how to use it for our benefit as Christians, we have to start with where our Lord himself instituted it and gave it to us. We also call it the Holy Communion, holy because the Lord joins us together. This communion is an interconnection, a communication between God and us, that he is giving us the forgiveness of sins, as the words of the Lord's Supper say. But it also then is the highest expression of our unity with one another as Christians. Yes, we are all gathered around the throne, gathered around our Lamb, Jesus Christ, just as the saints are in heaven. But by being joined to him, so we are also joined together into a holy communion, the Holy Christian Church. In the Catechism, it is called the Sacrament of the Altar. This is to say that what Christ's sacrificial death has accomplished once and for all on the cross, that is delivered to us in the Lord's Supper. As Jesus himself says, even the night before he was crucified, "My body and my blood are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." It was done at his cross, but it is delivered to us in that body and blood in the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. Lastly, the church has often used the word Eucharist to describe it. That word means thanksgiving for God's great good gifts. And this characterizes our celebration of the Lord's Supper as a joyful event where we thank him for his gift and we remember his sacrifice for us as we eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, Jesus says something very important in today's reading. He also says it again in St. Paul. He says that this is the New Testament in my blood. What an amazing statement. We've spent this whole time using the order of morning prayer. Right before the sermon, then we utter these words from Hebrews chapter 1. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This is what characterized the New Testament. What is new is that Jesus Christ has now fulfilled everything by his death. But the place in the Bible where the phrase New Testament, New Covenant is actually used is right here in the Lord's Supper. That tells us something very important about the Lord's Supper, something that is the same as what we spoke about in baptism, that this sacrament, this gift, this institution of Christ is not a work that we do. It is not simply only a confession of our faith to others or a reminder to ourselves of something long past, but it is the Lord's work for us. He is the one who gives this testament. And, to put it gently, it is the very gospel itself. Not to the exclusion of the preaching and baptism and the word of absolution, but this also, and perhaps in a very intimate and special way, is the gospel delivered to each of us. For here, the Lord's body and blood itself comes to us, delivering the forgiveness of sins that his word always gives. The New Testament in his blood. A testament is something that someone solemnly swears. They promise all of their earthly possessions, who will get them after they die. A testament only goes into effect once that person has died. And once they die, the testament is sealed. It is gone into effect, it cannot be altered or changed in any way, but it must be read just as it says. Read in front of the beneficiary so that they may hear the words of the testator, the one who has died, the one who is giving them all these gifts, the inheritance. And then in that reading, and with that reading, it is given to those recipients. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the night when he was betrayed, Holy Thursday, just hours before he was arrested in the Mount of Olives. And he gives everything that he has, which is to say nothing except himself, his own flesh and blood, his divine life with it, that gift that he would use and give and offer up to his Father on the cross in that one sacrifice, he distributes to us as a blessed gift, delivering his life to us now. It goes into effect by his death. It is sealed. We cannot change or alter the Lord's testament according to our desires any more than you can alter the will after the person has died. But every Sunday, by God's grace, these words, this testament is read in our presence. We hear again that we are the heirs of eternal life. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made us so by his death, and we receive from him the blessings of his divine estate, the kingdom of God given to us in the sacrament. What must we learn about the Lord's Supper? At least two things today. And we will learn them directly from the Lord's words. In my church, in most churches that I know, Lutheran churches especially, the words of institution are not only spoken, but they are sung. And I hope that you have the opportunity to hear that also, because that drives these words ever deeper into our ears and our hearts. My children, my catechism students, never had to spend any time memorizing the words of institution, because they knew them so well from hearing them sung in church every week. This is good. You must know the words of the testament. If you skip the reading of the will, you'll never know if you're being cheated out of your inheritance. Well, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we must listen to what our Lord is giving and learn from him what to believe and why to treasure his gift of the Lord's Supper. What he says across all of the versions of this giving that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, what they have in common is the most astounding part. Jesus, in all of them, says, "This is my body, and this cup, this is my blood." That is astounding, because that statement seems to be nonsensical. There is no way that I could pick up a hymnal, a book, and say, "This is my body." You would say I'm either being metaphorical or crazy. But the Lord makes it very clear that he is not being metaphorical. He is quite serious. Here he is in agony, knowing what is coming hours ahead of time. He, being of sound body and mind, sets things right before he goes to his death. And he uses precise language as a result. He says that this, that is, the bread that he took and the cup of wine that he held, this is. In Greek, unlike in English, you can get away without saying the verb. You don't have to say is. But nevertheless, in all four accounts of the Gospels and St. Paul, we see that Jesus says is emphatically. This is emphasizing the true nature of what he is giving. This bread is my body. This wine, this cup, is my blood. Now, what Jesus accomplishes here is dramatic, it is astounding, it is impossible for us to understand, much like the Holy Trinity. And yet it is not impossible for us to confess, to believe, to hold true exactly what Jesus says, and nothing less. He says this is his body. This is the very same Lord who said in the beginning, "Let there be light," when there was only darkness and there was light, who created the entire world by his word, who we believe, as we talked about in the last 2 days, by his forgiveness of sins, is able to make sinners into righteous saints of God, children and heirs. Exactly as he said, righteous because of Christ. That is the very same word that Jesus is using as he says, "This is my body, and this is my blood." That is the first thing we must see, is that what we are given in the Lord's Supper is supernatural. It may not look to be anything more than bread. It certainly is wine, as we'll hear a little bit about tomorrow from St. Paul, in a congregation that was even getting drunk by misusing the Lord's Supper. And yet, by the Lord's promises, with his creative word, it is his body and his blood to eat and to drink also. Why is that important? Because this is no pretend metaphorical symbolic gift that he gives. Just as his death was no metaphor, no slight fantasy or myth, but a very historic reality that means your sins are very truly dealt with by Christ. And when we eat and drink the Lord's Supper, we believe exactly what the Lord's word says. This is given and shed for me, for the forgiveness of my sins. Just as in holy baptism, just as in the Lord's word, the gospel that is preached, and in the absolution that is given directly to you, the Lord is forgiving your sins. We cannot hop in a time machine or buy an airplane ticket to Jerusalem and get back to this event. As that one hymn says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" None of us were. How in the world do we get access and receive the gifts that the Lord has won for us by his cross? We do it in his word, and we do it in his sacraments. He brings his gospel to us. And that is why we treasure the Lord's Supper. This is his very body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins on the cross, but now delivered and given to us here and now to strengthen our faith, to nourish us spiritually, to cleanse us from our sins, to be yet one more piece of armor against the devil and his attacks, one more testimony from the Holy Spirit to say, "You are my child, you are my heir. Your sins are forgiven." These words of this testament, which tell us everything that Jesus has given and done for us, are, in a real sense, the gospel in a nutshell. That he has given and shed his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. And in the Lord's Supper, that is delivered to us. Thus, these words that, and everything that they give along with them, the bodily eating and drinking, is what the sacrament is about. And tomorrow, to conclude, we will talk about how rightly to receive the sacrament and what a great confession of the unity of faith going to the sacrament is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Continue the rest of the hymn.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Paul Rockroar, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.